Today's scripture can be found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Good morning, church. How are you today? And you know, I always picture Eason as like about that tall, and it's really, sorry Eason, sorry to, like my own son as well, change and growth happens so fast. One minute you're little kids, next minute you're young adults. So the text we've got today is normally one we associate with evangelism. It's normally one that we look at and we hear God's call for us to go out to all nations. So what I want to focus on today, though, is in verse 19, it says that part of what we are called to do, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the question I want to ask is, well, what is baptism? When it says here, baptism, what is it talking about? And is baptism, well, what's the relationship of baptism to our salvation? Okay? Because often in church, we are talking about how we are saved, how we are made right with God, how we take a broken relationship with God and reconnect and reestablish that love. And the first thing I want to say is that we want to be clear. Our salvation is by faith. And so Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So it is through faith. But faith on its own would have no effect if God himself had not provided the way that we come to God through faith, because this is how he has worked out his love. When it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith," what it's saying is that in this broken relationship, God has not broken relationship with us. He still loves us. Grace is undeserved love. So even though in Eden, all men turned away from God, God did not turn away from us. He still loves us. He still calls us to return to him. We walked away. And like the father in the prodigal son story, he's waiting for us. He's hoping that we return, that his undeserved love is waiting there for us. And all he's asking is that we come to him through faith, through trust, through humble turning towards him. So it is by grace through faith that we are saved. Our salvation, our being right with God, is through faith, through heartfelt trust. So that brings us then to tech difficulties. I'm trying to advance the slide. There we go. And to help us understand this, I'm going to bring up James 2:26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. That's James 2:26. So this is not saying that faith doesn't save us. What this is saying is that if we have faith, if I have faith here, then you should see action. You should see words. You should see things I'm doing coming from my faith. So if I tell my wife I love her, if I say, honey, I love you so much, and then immediately I leave her to be with other women, my words were empty. If my faith, if what's in my heart is real, if I tell my wife I love you, you should see my attempts to live that out. And we're human. We're imperfect. Our love, our attempts to live it out will be imperfect. But you should see words, action, moving in agreement with my heartfelt statements. What's in my heart should come out in words and action. And in Luke 6:45, it talks about the good man brings good things out of the good treasure of his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil treasure of his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I love that verse. I think that's such a cool verse. I've got my heart, and out of the overflow of my heart, that's what should come out of my mouth. As Christians, we should not have falsehood. We should have what's really in our hearts coming out. So let's bring this back to baptism. And again, it is by faith that we are saved. This is our salvation. We are far from God and we are sinners, all of us. None of us are righteous. All have sinned. And it is by faith that we are made right with God. That in his love for us, we don't deserve it because we turned away from him, but in his love for us, all he asks is, look, place your trust in me. Place your faith in me. And by that we are saved. But if our faith is real, it should come out in action. If what I say is true, then you should see it. And again, we are imperfect. We all know this. When we promise to clean our rooms, we mean it. And then stuff happens and we forget, or we do kind of a rushed job. So here's a verse in Ephesians 1 talking about faith and baptism. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And I remember in China, I don't know if any of you have them, but you have your name chop, your stamp, that has your Chinese characters on it. And many older people would still have that. And you'd have wax, and you'd put it down, and you'd have your seal, and you'd mark it, and it's like your signature. I think it's really cool. We had them done for our wedding. So both my wife and I had name chops made, and on the invitations for our wedding, we sealed them with our name chops. That's a seal. So this is baptism of the Spirit. We are told that when we accept Jesus, when we accept Christ, Christ marks us with a seal. He sends his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit exists already, but God fills us with his Holy Spirit when we accept. And we can think of this as Spirit baptism. When we believe, we are marked, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and this accompanies salvation. But then we've got another thing. For many of us today, we pray to let Jesus into our heart first, and then sometime later, we come up and we are baptized with water. So 1 Peter 3:21 is talking about Noah and his ark. But it's also widely accepted that this is talking about water baptism. So note, it says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. So the water, when you are baptized by water, it symbolizes, it demonstrates physically what happened when the Holy Spirit baptized you. It's meant to bring that to mind for everyone who's watching. And what we're doing when we immerse you in water, we're not washing you physically. We're not scrubbing the dirt off you. What we're doing is we're trying to symbolically show the new life in you. And when you're baptized, you make a profession of faith. You say, yes, I've turned away from the life that was before me. I've chosen by faith to place all my trust in Jesus. So, water baptism does not save you. It symbolizes, it remembers the Holy Spirit baptism that accompanied your salvation. For many of us, we can think of water baptism. It's probably the first time that we publicly say to people, to friends, to family, Jesus Christ is now my Lord. So I had a student at U of T who became a Christian. She was Iranian in background. She was Zoroastrian, which is one of the oldest religions in the world. And she accepted Christ, but she was terrified of telling her family because she was terrified. She thought that bad things would happen. And we prayed with her for weeks and weeks. And finally, one week, she came back and said, I told my grandmother, but then she called my father right away. And then she said, but it was the best possible result I could have ever imagined. Because my father said he didn't agree, he didn't like it. But he also said, you're still my daughter. And when you're baptized, I want to be invited. Because at her baptism, that's where she declares to the world, I'm a follower of Jesus. For her, she declared it first to us, that small group that met with her and prayed. She also declared it then to a couple of friends and family members. But for many of us, baptism is the first time that we get up in front of people and we say, I'm now a Christian. And this water, this symbolizes my acceptance of Christ. So we have spirit baptism. When you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit descends on you. And then you have water baptism. That for many of us, at a future point, we get up in front of people, and this water symbolizes the baptism that saves us. Now, there are some people, the Ethiopian eunuch, where it appears that the water baptism was also the moment they accepted Christ. Amen. The two don't have to be separate, but where we do separate them, we should keep in mind that it is the Holy Spirit. It is by faith we are saved, not by any works. We are not saved because we come up and are put down into the water. It is not by any work that makes us right with God. And we can see this with the thief on the cross. Remember when Jesus is crucified, there are some thieves with him, and one of them makes fun of him. But the other thief says, why are you doing that? Don't you have any shame? This man didn't do anything wrong. And Jesus says to that thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. In other words, you are saved. And yet that thief died on the cross shortly afterward. He had no opportunity for any water baptism. So, we've got this thing. We have the baptism that saves us, which is by faith. It is the Holy Spirit entering into us. And then we've got this baptism that is more symbolic, that it is a work. It is a deed. But if what's in our heart is real, if my prayer to God from my heart was authentic, was heartfelt, then we should want to be baptized. We should desire to be baptized. I want to say to the world, I want my family, I want my friends to see me go into the water as a symbol of the baptism that saves me, so that everyone knows what's happened inside of me. So now, we're going back to that question. So is baptism then necessary for us to be saved? Well, I think we can go back to this, okay? Faith apart from works is dead. So are works necessary for salvation? Is water baptism necessary for salvation? Is it necessary? No. Is it? Should it happen? Yes. It's kind of like asking me, if I tell my wife I love her and I want to spend the rest of my life with her, I tell her that. Should I then get married? Of course. If I tell my wife I love you and I want to spend the rest of my life with you, I don't want to be with any other woman, then I should get married. I should complete the act. That's what we have here. Faith is what saves us. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that accompanies that action. Is it the baptism of the Holy Spirit that saves us itself? That's a good question. But it accompanies that salvation. When we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into us. He marks us. If that is real, I should want to get baptized by water. I should want to make that public declaration. So it is by grace, God's undeserved love, that we're saved through faith. And when we're saved, we get marked by the Holy Spirit. We get sealed by Him. So Spirit baptism is a sign that we're saved. It's an indication. And if this faith in us is real, it should result in work. It should result in action. It should result in ongoing change. Kind of Pastor Tim's comment for the young people, like, do you want to see change in your parents? What kind of change would you like to see? Well, why are you expecting change? Because if we're in Christ, God's ways are as far above and different than the ways of the world as the heavens are above the earth. If we are Christian, it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. That act of faith in giving our heart to Christ should result in ongoing change, ongoing work. It's not the work that saves us, though. But the work demonstrates the truth of what's in our heart. I think that's why Scripture says, let your yes be a yes. In other words, if you say you're going to do it, do it. But not just do it. I would say it's implicit in there. Do it with all your heart. If I ask my daughter to do something, I don't want her, I want to teach her not to say, all right, okay. I want her, yes, if she says yes, it should be heartfelt. Yes. If I say yes, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to do it with all my heart. That reflects what our life and faith should be. If we've given God our yes, then we should see it in an ongoing way. Sometimes these two things are referred to as salvation. Salve means saved, what saves us, and then sanctification. Sanctification, same root, sanctus, as the word that we get saint from. Making us into holy objects. Setting us apart for God, changing us. Our salvation is a one-time act. We accept Jesus by faith. Our sanctification goes on the rest of our lives. Reverend Chan, who's retiring today after decades of faithful service, I think Reverend Chan would agree with me. He's not perfect. I think if I asked his wife, we would agree, yeah, he's not perfect. None of us are perfect. There is no one perfect except God alone. We never become God. We never become fully perfect. But through the course of our life, this process we call sanctification, God is slowly changing us. And sometimes it's painful. We don't like the change. Sometimes God is rubbing those rough edges off us. Sometimes, like a father, He's disciplining us. But sanctification is ongoing. But the sanctification doesn't save us. It's evidence that we are saved. So we can think of it this way. Salvation is by faith. But accompanying salvation, if salvation is real, if it's authentic, then what is in our heart should flow out of it into action, into change, into being more and more the image of Christ. So this brings us back to our original text. Then Jesus came to them. This is when Jesus is going up in the heavens. His last words. And you know, the last words of somebody before they're taken away, those are often the words that they want to be most remembered. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All of it. Who has all authority in heaven and earth? It's called God. "Therefore, because I am God, go and make disciples of all nations. Teach people to be followers of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We're all one. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we're not three different gods. We're the same God. Baptize them in the name of us. Baptize them. Help them to come to faith in me. Come to faith in Christ. And help them to demonstrate, to make that heart promise real, that we should not make a promise and not keep it, not fulfill it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, notice, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. It's saying the same thing. If they are baptized in the Spirit, if their baptism is real, teach them that, yeah, if you're giving your heart to Christ, it should be accompanied by action. You don't just pray a prayer and then go back to the old way of living. You don't pray a prayer, and Scripture calls it as a dog returns to its vomit. You don't go back to that. If you pray to accept Christ, if you mean it, show it. If you really accept Christ, show it. Now, part of this, if we are trying to lead others towards that, can I say that we need to begin here? A person should not take someone else down a path if they're not traveling down that path. So take a look at your own life. How well, how authentic is the faith? Are you living it? Are you demonstrating the work that comes from real faith? Because Scripture tells us that it is by our love for one another that all men will know we are Christ's disciples. Are you demonstrating who you serve by what you say, by what you do? Those things don't save you, but they are the works that naturally come if what's in your heart is real. And we all know we want to be authentic. We want to be true. We don't want to be hypocrites. We want our life to be in accord with our heart. So let me lay that on you. Don't point at others. Take a look at your own life. How can we, how can you and I better follow this Christ who we serve? And often he's calling us to go where we don't want to go because we need to change. Let's close in a prayer. Heavenly Father, it is through faith we're saved because of your grace. You loved us even when we turned away from you. And all you desire from us, all you ask of us, is that we have faith in you. God, may you help our faith to be complete, to be made real in our actions. May we honor you as our Father. May we bring you glory And that needs to be from our being more and more like you. God, I know how hard that is. So we need your strength. We need the full body of Christ to pray for us and support us in all this. We just lift up to you as the one who loved us even when we turned away from you. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.